It was a typically beautiful Honolulu morning, Sunday, December 7, 1941. Some were on their way to church, others sleeping off Saturday night fun, while the military and civilians enjoyed their quiet, comfortable, complacent dawn. Six Japanese aircraft carriers were steaming to within flying range of Pearl Harbor and Ford Field. At exactly 7:48 a.m., the first of 353 Japanese planes started dropping bombs on the bulk of our country's Pacific Fleet, which was mostly lined up, tied up, still in the water, in the tiny harbor. Sitting ducks. 9 minutes later, at 7:57 that awful morning, a radio message crackled across the island. Quote, air raid, Pearl Harbor, this is not a drill. In the stunning two-hour surprise attack by Japanese aircraft and submarines, 18 ships were sunk or damaged. Most of nearly 300 Navy, Marine, and Air Corps planes were decimated where they sat on tarmacs. Only a handful of American military aircraft got off the ground. 29 Japanese planes were shot down that morning. More than 2,400 of our Marines, sailors, soldiers, and civilians died. Nearly 1,200 were wounded. The world would never be the same. In a speech to Congress and the country the next day, President Roosevelt, declaring war on Japan, referred to the previous day of the attack, quote, a date that will live in infamy.
A state of war has existed between the United States and the Japanese Empire.
Admiral Yamamoto, the Japanese fleet commander, who masterminded the attack, said, quote, I fear all we have done today is to awaken a great sleeping giant and fill him with terrible resolve, unquote. Little did he know. Fortunately, 75 years later, our countries are friends. The Japanese attack was intended to not only destroy much of our Pacific Fleet, but our morale as well. Roosevelt responded by pressing our military leaders to strike the Japanese homeland as soon as possible to send a message that attacking America was a big mistake. On April 18, 1942, just 4 months later, 80 American airmen, led by Lieutenant Colonel Jimmy Doolittle, in 16 B-25 medium bombers, successfully attacked many targets in Japan. But three of the airmen survived that day. This morning, we will hear firsthand about the Doolittle raid from the pilot who shared the cockpit with his commander in the lead plane. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm David Hartman. Thank you. Thanks. Please welcome Lieutenant Colonel Dick Cole, and Jonna Doolittle, who is General Doolittle's granddaughter and biography. Colonel Cole.
Thank you.
Dick here. Thanks, Jonna. Yeah. Dick, looks like a lot of people have a lot of respect for you.
Yeah.
Course deck is highly decorated. Two DFCs, distinguished flying crosses with two oak leaf clusters, air medal with one oak leaf cluster, bronze star, many honors from the Chinese, Air Force commendation, highly decorated for all the obvious reasons that we know about. Dick, how old were you when you put on your silver wings, Air Corps wings?
I was 26.
Which was later than most of the young pilots, right, at 26?
Yes.
So had you flown commercially before? Did you have a civil license?
No. Get into the, what I wanted to do aviation-wise, I had to spend some time working on the farm and get the 2 years of college. And I heard about the civilian pilot training program that Uncle Sam is dangling in front of a lot of young guys. And I applied for it, then I got accepted and was able to go through the whole program. And
now, when were you assigned to a B-25 unit?
Yeah.
When were you assigned to a B-25 unit? That was your first assignment, right? Was B-25s?
Yes.
After training?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
And where were you stationed?
We got sent to Pendleton, Oregon, in the 17th Bombardment Group.
And your mission at the time was what? What were you doing?
We were in the process of going to Columbia, South Carolina. Initially, the 17th had 123s and B-18s. Finally, we got some B-25s, and we trained in them. I mean, we went on a mock tour to the southeast of Florida and had a mock war with the Army at that time.
Now, how much did you know about the mission? How secret was it at the time? What did you know?
We were just told that they wanted volunteers for a dangerous mission, and I had forgotten that when I enlisted, the first sergeant said, don't volunteer for anything.
But you volunteered anyway, and so did a lot of other guys.
Well, the whole group volunteered, including the commander. I don't know of anybody that dropped out.
In the process?
Yeah. And several times during the training, Colonel Doolittle offered that if anybody wanted to drop out, we've no repercussions.
What was your reaction when you heard that Lieutenant then Colonel Doolittle was going to be your skipper?
As a young lad, I was born and raised in Ohio, Dayton, Ohio, and the first test base that the Army Air Corps had was McCook Field. And as a kid, I used to ride my bicycle over by McCook and sit on the river lever and watch all the old timers and what they were doing and so forth.
Including Doolittle. Yeah,
yes. My mother and I had a scrapbook on aviation in Dayton. He was a good part of it.
John, what was your grandfather's reputation at this point when he came back on active duty to lead this mission?
Mostly, Granddad was thought of as kind of a daredevil, somebody who could do anything in an airplane, would take any risk. But the truth was, he was a scientist, had his doctorate of science in aeronautical engineering from MIT, and Hap Arnold knew that. So when he pulled him in to lead the raid, he knew what kind of an education came with him.
Right. Hmm. Jonna, how well did you know your grandparents? What was your age, and how well were you able to get to know them as adults?
I was really fortunate because growing up, my grandparents' house was Doolittle Central. My dad was in the Air Force, so we traveled all the time, and that was where, at that point in time, it was Santa Monica. And then when I went to college, I came back from Germany and spent my first year at UCLA, and I lived with them. And then, I tell you, he didn't die until 1993, and I had a daughter in high school and a daughter in middle school, so I was, up there.
So, Dick, when did you learn the details of what your mission was going to be in the Pacific?
Well, we didn't know anything about it until 2 days at sea, and they announced on the PA system that our target was Japan. And
so you'd flown to San Francisco,
yeah.
Right? They hauled your airplanes up onto the Hornet.
Alameda. Yeah.
And then you still did not know exactly what you were going to do at that point?
No. Like I said, they didn't announce it until we were 2 days at sea. It was too far to swim, so I don't know of anybody that backed out or jumped ship.